We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Well, praise the Lord. Once again, it's Take Time for Jesus ministry. And we just thank God today to know that He is still on the throne and in control of all the things that's going on around and about us. There's a lot of people that likes to control things, but I believe that God has full control and He will bring to pass what He would desire to be. We hope that you would enjoy the blessings of God in the past few days. We know that some of the people have suffered from parts of the United States from due to the storm and other things. But my friend, today that God is in control, and we got to realize that He takes vengeance on things that doesn't go His way. So we need to realize that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. But we just happy to report today that God is still on the throne, and He is blessing His people, them that would call upon Him, and them that have received that waters of life. That is the Spirit of God, that which the Bible speaks about. We just praise Him today and thank Him for His grace and His salvation through the precious blood of Jesus that He shed on Calvary's cross, in faith that we believe and trust in Him. Things will go as He has already put in His word that would come forth, and there would be troubles in the world. So we got to realize that this God's word is not going to fail. But at this time, we want to go to prayer, and we pray that you got your clock turned back to where it's supposed to be, and not setting up around 4 o'clock. We just praise God for the opportunity to come into your homes and your automobiles, however you received it, by computer, and just give you an encouragement. That's a desire of heart, to win a soul for the kingdom of God. So as we go to prayer this time, let us pray one for another that God's will be done in our lives and for whatever it's worth in the lives of others, that they would be obedient to His call in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you again today for your blessings and the keeping of us, bringing us and allowing us once again to lift up that precious name of Jesus. Because I find in the written in the word that there's no other name given among men whereby that we can be saved. I couldn't save myself. No other man could. But Jesus came into this world to die on Calvary's cross, that salvation could be given to all them that would come unto Him and receive Him. So I just praise you today and thank you for the opportunity to lift up that wonderful name of Jesus in praise and honor as we go from day to day looking unto Thee, O Lord, to be the author and the finisher of our faith. I pray that you would touch those that are sick out there and amongst us and help us, O God, to rise above the things that trouble us, and giving you praise and honor in the loving name of Jesus. We give it to you, Father, in Jesus' name. So we just pray that you would be blessed, that God would touch your lives and raise you up from whatever your problem may be, that they will be small and very few. So we just praise God today for it. So here's my wife. She's got something over here for you. So stay tuned.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad we can come to you this week again. And I have a tract here that I'd like to read to you. And the wheat harvest is on. Now, if you're not a farmer, you're from the city or something, you may not understand what I'm reading about. But I was a farmer from the time I was real little until I was grown and left the farm. But they... Bible speaks about the wheat harvest. Whatever time of year, wheat is a phase planted in September, October. It grows and establishes strength in a root system to carry it through the trial of winter. In spring, it grows rapidly, avoiding a late freeze, drought, aphids, blight, wildlife, and weeds. Weeds seem to grow in meanness as they take moisture and mineral from the growing wheat and provide difficulty for the combine during the harvest. Some weeds, like wild onions and garlic, produce seeds similar in size and weight and spoil the value of wheat. Before combines and thrashing machines were a thing, farmers were tempted to pull the weeds, but trampling in the field would destroy more wheat than it would save, and pulling up weeds, called tares also, would uproot the wheat because the root systems were virtually intermingled. Today, herbicide stuns most weeds to the point that the wheat can be harvested successfully. When the combine travels through the wheat, all plants are beat in the thrasher, and the wheat seed is sifted out by size and weight, while the chaff, straw, and tare are shredded as it exits the machine. Often it is burned in the field or left to perish in the weather. The value of studying the life cycle of wheat is simply one of life and death. Yes, it is that serious. If compared to our soul, wheat and tare is an excellent teaching tool, and that is why Jesus taught us many things with the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto them, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. For the days of our lives, we have seen the time of planting and of growing, but now the time of harvest of souls is near. That is, the time of Jesus' return is close, and neither the wheat nor the tare will be removed early until the coming of the reapers, which are the angels, at the end of this age. Whether we'll be separated and bundled for the coming fire or gathered for the Master's barn depends on whether or not we've been transformed from sinner to saint. In John 4:35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. It is like us to put off doing God's business, telling ourselves, I've got plenty of time. But cannot you see the world today without knowing the harvest is near? Then allow yourself to fall in love with the Lord of the harvest. Surrender yourself to Him in prayer, repentance, and adoration. Your conversion from tare to wheat will grant you safety from the coming fire and the wrath of God. Thus, an understanding of the wheat harvest is a matter of eternal life and death. But your soul will rest in the dust of the earth, but your opportunity to yield to the Savior's call will be lost to you. Then at the harvest, you will join the others on earth who neglected salvation to watch his return, only to wail and mourn as you realize that his promised coming is not for you, but against you who belong to him not. Seize the choice given you to confess your sin and become saved. And where will you spend eternity? Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. And that was Matthew 7:13-14. We can have whatsoever we choose, eternal death or life. The choice is yours. Jesus says, I am the door. by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Jesus again said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God's word is true, and it can never fail. Accept him today as your Savior and spend eternity with him and his saints. Today is a day of salvation. Today is your choice. Tomorrow may not come. We never know when we'll take our next breath. And I've said before, you go to sleep tonight, and you don't know if you're going to wake up tomorrow or not. Today is a salvation. Repent and give your life over to Jesus. Sinners, he don't hear you when you pray. He only hears the prayers of his own children. So if you want God to hear you, repent and turn from your wicked ways, and he'll heal our land. In Jesus' name.
praise the Lord. He is a wonderful Savior. My friend today, my wife was reading there some comments and some things that's written there about the wheat. We realize that everything that grows on this planet Earth, as we say, it takes water to bring it forth. Even into a Christian's life, it needs that water of the Word of Life, that spiritual water, that the woman at the well of Samaritan, when Jesus said he must go by there, Samaritan was a place there that were in that reason the Jews hated them such is because that many of them married into the Gentile nation and everything, and they looked on them as to be something other than people. They considered them trash, I suppose. But nevertheless, Jesus said that I must go through Samaria. So he came there, and when he came to Jacob's well, whereby that he himself had drank from, he dug it and he drank from it, and all his flock. But this woman, Samaritan woman, she came there to draw water, and Jesus was sitting there at the well, and he asked her to give to him to drink. Her being a Samaritan asked, why is it that you being a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan, why is it you ask of me to drink? And he said, if you knew who it was that asked of you, you would ask of him to give you living waters. My friend, today, if we would realize that there is a living water flowing from the throne of God, out of the house of God, to the it flows out to, as Ezekiel prophesied there and said that it came out from beneath the altar and it went out, and he was measured out to it until it becomes so deep that he could swim in it and it was unpassable. My friend, today, that if we would realize that he was speaking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, in other words, that spiritual water that gives that life to the soul of man, that wherein that he can have that abundant life that Jesus said he could have, it's going to take the living waters of God. It's going to take the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to bring you to the fullness of who he is and what he came to do, and all of it is wrote in the words of God, that whereby that everything that was done decently and in order, and nothing was done in the cloak of darkness, that which wasn't brought out into the light. Jesus was not ashamed to tell the people. He even told some of the Pharisees and the scribes there that they was a bunch of hypocrites. John called them a bunch of vipers because they knew better, but then they resisted the very thing that John came as a forerunner of Jesus Christ to bring to them, the gospel at wherein that he had received, to make the way straight for the Lord to come and to bring forth. And when John was baptizing there in the River Jordan, now this water was just normal water like any other water, but he spoke of a living water. He spoke of the spiritual water that which would come. He said, I baptize you in water, but there's one that comes after me whose shoes that I am not worthy to unloose. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. That spiritual water that Ezekiel was talking about had come to be there when John would begin to introduce it to him through Jesus Christ is the only way, my friend, that we can come to that place to wherein we can receive that living waters. And many people today are seeking after this and seeking after that. But my friend, today, that if we would just begin to seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the other things would be added unto us. But some people wants to go by all kinds of ways to get their way, to get what they want, and they don't care who they step on or who they run over or whatever it is, just so I'm first, I want what I want, and I'm going to get what I want regardless of who stands in my way, I'll just run over him. But that's no way to be. But I want you to know that there's coming a day that people are going to reach for and look for and ask for that living waters. It may be too late if they don't start getting it right today, as it was in the days of Noah. There was some natural water that fell on that day, flooded the earth, but God gave them 120 years plus 7 days to get it right. And after that the ark was finished and Noah and them went into the ark, that the ark sat there with the door open for 7 days yet of grace, and no one entered in. But when God shut the door and the water fell, then my friend, there was probably a Holy Ghost meeting going on, or a prayer meeting going on. Not a Holy Ghost, but a prayer meeting was going on in every high spot. Down through the years, they climbed up on high hills to make monuments to their gods and everything. They're seeking after something that was higher than they. And the only way that you can do it is come down to the foot of the cross, where Jesus hang, and the blood fell, and it brought forth life. You're going to have to let him cover you with the blood and hide you behind the cross, my friend. Not up on top of a mountain somewhere or another, or down into the deepest pit to hide, but you're going to have to come humbly unto the Lord Jesus Christ at his feet, asking to forgiveness. This lady, this woman at the well of Samaritan said, the well is deep and you have nothing to draw with. And he told her that he could give her life's giving waters. And she even come to the place that we're in, that she asked him to give to her of that living waters. A lot of people want everything their way. They don't want to strive. They don't want to, no effort in whatever that they want. She asked him to give to her the living waters, that she would not have to come to the well and draw no more. My friend, that's not what he was speaking about. He was speaking about life eternal by the Spirit of God, that living waters. As we go in, look into Revelation, he said there was a river there that flowed in the kingdom of God, and on each side they grow trees and they bear different fruits there, and the leaves was for a healing. But that living water come out from the throne of God, my friend. It just doesn't flow out of the wells that we dig and the things that we bring forth, the natural water to drink. There's drinking water, but there's spiritual water. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. If you recall it, how that Jesus stood on the day there and there, and we noticed the there that when he said in John 7:37, he said, in the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. My friend, today he don't speak about that naturally, but if you go and having Christ in you, the hope of glory, baptized in his name and receive of his Spirit the Holy Ghost, then you'll be able to bring forth that living waters. It means to lift up the name of Jesus, that your life will be changed, that others will know that there's something other that's come into your life that they don't have, and they'll desire to wonder what it is, and then they begin to ask you what the problem is, and then ask you why the difference, and then you can express to them the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, and that living water, the spiritual application of the Holy Ghost to come into them. Lord, that's the only way that we're going to be able to have that rivers bubbling up within us, a well of living waters, that we can lift up that name of Jesus and bring people to him that we're in, that they too can have the same opportunity as you did, and you can bring them to Christ and they can receive of that living waters. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of God. It's not a well that naturally dug out there with natural water in it. It's a spiritual drink that we're in, that we need to be filled with the Spirit of God to be able to do what he would have us to do. Friends, because without him, we can do nothing. But with the Spirit of God in us, Christ did the hope of glory, then we'll be able to persuade others. And I wouldn't say that you go out there and argue with them, because the Bible speaks about against arguing. Some people argue with a fool and become a fool themselves, but nevertheless, it's not to argue about it. You express the Word of God as it is, and it stands by itself. You don't have to persuade them. You just have to tell them what it says, and they don't want to receive it, then leave it be. Maybe later on it'll be come back to them again, but you can't stand there and argue and win souls for the glory of God. You're going to have to let that Spirit deal with them to the place that we're in, that they will begin to thirst after the righteousness of God. As Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And then he lets us know that we can have that spiritual application of his Spirit, and we can have it to help us along in this life, that we can live a more abundant life and achieve what he intends for us to do. See, it's not God's will for any to perish. Hell was made for the devil and his angels, but it's enlarged itself to receive them that want to go. They go there as an intruder, because it was not meant for them. But without salvation, without believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, without receiving of him, of the Spirit of God, being born again by repentance, then hell is going to be your downfall. He'll drag you in there and be your downfall. Jesus came that we could have life and have it more abundantly. I don't mean that, as I've said before, that you can have everything your little heart desires, because as a man that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ and believes upon the Lord of Jesus Christ, I don't have everything I would desire, but the flesh desires, but my heart desires to be filled with the Spirit of God, that I be able to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, that others may see Christ in me, and they too would call upon the name of the Lord. That's my goal. That's my heart's desire, to win souls for the kingdom of God. To present Jesus to you as the Messiah, as a Savior, and as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to bring you to the knowledge of him and his saving grace through that shed blood that he shed for your sins and mine there on Calvary's cross. There's no other way we can make it, my friend. There's no other name given to where you can call upon to be saved. You can't save yourself. The silver and the gold can't buy your way into glory. The Bible speaks about it in the last days, the rich people will go and throw their money into the holes with the bats and all. And then they cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on and hide them from him that sat upon the throne. So where is all your money and your gold and your silver and your wealth going to be? What good is it if you accumulate it all and have it and miss out on God, my friend? It's not going to do you any good. It'll go perish with you, and you with it. So it's time that we begin to realize that these things that are happening across the land is not merely by just coincidence. God has control over the elements of the air. He has control over everything, and he allows things to happen to try to get yours and my attention to know that there is a God that we're going to have to answer to. There is a time that we're going to stand before the judgment of God and be judged for all that we have done in this life, whether it's good or bad. We're going to have to make sure and calling upon him and make our election sure, founded upon the Word of God, that we know that him, in him is eternal life, and he can give us that by that rivers of living waters, by that Spirit of God that dwells in us. By these things we know that we have that unction by the Holy Ghost, that we know that we've been born again, that we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, and that we can come and before him boldly at the throne of grace. There's no longer a veil as the old economy had, that between only the high priest could go in once a year and make a sacrifice and put the blood of the sacrificed animal upon the seat, and it would roll their sins back for another year, but he had to do that once a year. But Jesus, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, came that we could come to the to the foot of the cross boldly into the throne of grace. We could come there because the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, exposing the most holiest of holies, where this only the high priest could go into. But Jesus Christ become our high priest, so we can come boldly to the throne of grace, asking forgiveness of our sins and receiving that atoning blood of Jesus that cleanses us from our sins and brought us into the kingdom of God. That's the only way we're going to make it, my friend. There's just no way that we can get there except through Jesus Christ. There's no hope for us outside of Jesus Christ. The word is for sure, and it's not going to be done away with. It's going to stand, as the scripture says, and not one dot of the I or cross of the T will fall until all things be fulfilled. Jesus said, my word will stand. The heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will stand. So my friend, looking into the things of the world and thinking, well, you're going to escape because they this and they that. We got this to look to and we got that to look to. But if you ain't looking to Jesus Christ for your soul salvation, your soul will perish in hell if you follow into trends of the world and seeking after the world and all of its pleasures. Jesus said, I'm not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. My friend, today it's a spiritual application that God lets you know that in the kingdom of God that there's no flesh and blood going to inherit it. It's going to be by the Spirit. And if you go to sleep in the dust of the earth, when you rise in Jesus' name, if you've been born again, you rise as a spiritual being, but you'll have a body form, I believe, and you'll go into the kingdom of God. But this old sinful nature that we have will have to be done away with. And with all of the sickness and everything that may carry you into that grave, if you've been born again, your heart's right with God and you have received of God of that forgiveness of sin through his atoning blood that he paid the price for, and that no matter what goes in the grave with you, honey, it's going to stay there. Hallelujah. It's going to stay there, and that which is of God, the Spirit, is going to raise up just as Jesus did from the tomb and be alive. They seen him, they felt him, and they touched him. He even ate bread and fish and honey with them. So my friend, today, if we would realize that there's things that a carnal mind can't understand except you read the Word of God and ask the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, God himself, to guide you and direct you into the all truth of his Word. It's the only way it can be done. You can't do it with the carnal mind and thinking just like you would read a true story magazine of something other of that nature. You get to the bottom of it, you can go to the back page and find out how it turns out. You can also go to the last page of Revelation. You can find out that God's people wins in the end. But honey, it's time that you get from start to finish. It's what does what you do between then. Don't wait until you're on your deathbed, as some people may do, and expect that you can make it all right, because it could be an instantaneously thing, like some people's life has been instantaneously took out from them, and they didn't have a chance to say, God bless, God help me, or nothing else. It was just all over with, and their soul went into wherever it was supposed to go. And it'll be there. And my friend, today, it's no time to be fooling around with God. God's not mocked. He's what he is, and it's nothing no different. He's not mocked. As some people try to say, oh, this ain't going to be and that ain't going to be. But my friend, if the Word of God says it's going to come to pass, you can rely upon it. It may not come in your day, but someday it's going to be fulfilled. I've seen, heard tell in my young days a lot of things that I've been able to see come to pass. But my friend, today, we may not be alive at the time of the coming of our Lord and Savior, but some of us may sleep in the dust of the earth. But when them that are in the grave hear the voice of the archangel come forth, they're going to come out first, and them to remain to be alive shall be caught up to together. But how's this going to be? It's because they've drank of that living waters. They have been filled with the Spirit of God. It's going to take that Holy Ghost power to get us from old earth up into the clouds of glory with the Lord. You ain't going to go there in a rocket ship. That ain't going to work. It's going to take born again of the water and of the Spirit to be able to get into the kingdom of God. When he looks out over there, my friend, and sees that his children, he's going to have compassion with them, and he's going to bless them. But when he looks down on them that have sinned, and they have had opportunity upon opportunity to come and change and let him change their life, he's going to let things happen that would bring forth victory to him, maybe destruction to many, but it's going to be as he has predicted. My friend, we need to realize today that we need to come to God. We need to ask him for that living water. As the woman at the well, she asked him to give her living waters that she didn't have to come and draw. He said, this is a spiritual thing, my friend. It's not the water that you draw out of the well. It's water that you draw out from the throne of grace. That which is brought forth in there. The man that Nicodemus went to the Lord there one time and asked him about what he had to do, and he said he had to been born again. He said, how is it when a man has been born again? How can he be born again when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? That which is flesh, and that which is spirit, oh my God, today Adam was made of the dust of the earth, but Jesus, the second Adam, was a quickening spirit, and that Spirit of God, the hope of glory within you, will get you from here to there into the kingdom of God. But otherwise, if it's not, if you're not sealed with the Holy Ghost and sealed with the Spirit of God, then you're going to be lost. It's plain and simple. It's time that you realize that what's done in the flesh, it's going to reap the fleshly doings. What's done in the things for God, he's going to reap the blessings of God. But it's about time we begin to understand and realize and ask God to help us to know the difference between that which and that which is not. The gift of God is eternal life, my friend. If you want it, you got to come to the source that gives it, and that's to Jesus Christ. He's going to give you that eternal life. And he spoke to the woman at the well. It was water that he could give her bubbling up within into eternal life. How else could she have it? Well, when he asked her to bring forth her husband, she said, I have none. He said, you said right. There you had five, but the one you're with is not your husband. But many people today have going this way, and a lot of times it's been encouraged that they don't have to marry. They just live together and all this kind of stuff. But God has sanctioned a marriage between a man and a woman. So we need to realize that anything outside of that is an abomination in the sight of God. You commit adultery, you commit sin of any kind, whatever it is, murder, stealing, and all this kind of stuff, you're going to pay the consequences of it if you don't repent. And if you don't repent, the consequences are going to be eternal damnation in the hell that was prepared for Lucifer and his angels. It's your choice. I can't make you. God ain't going to make you. But in the end, I'm not going to have anything to do with the end of it, how it works out. But I pray that God will give you insight to know that that when he ain't going to make you serve him, but in the end, when it comes time to pay the consequences, you wished you had her. That's what I'm trying to tell you. My friend, today, there's been many a people that's wished that they hadn't went one way, wished they'd have went another way. My friend, today, it's no wishing about it. Wishes is not anything that's going to bring salvation to it. It's listening and reading and studying the Word of God, bringing forth. There's a lot of good preachers out there that preaches salvation. There's a lot of them out there that preaches their prosperity. All they want is your money, but I'm after the win you for the kingdom of God, for win your soul. Praise God. God is, he's not broke. If I need something, I can go to him and he'll supply the need when I need it. I ain't got to depend upon the world to listen and them have compassion over me and do this or do that. But God said he would supply our needs. And I'm almost 80 years old and I missed a few meals, true enough. Some of them I would rather eat, but yet and still, when I was a young boy in the Depression, there was a lot of things that everybody wanted, but we didn't have, because some people didn't even have anything to eat. But God met the needs of them that would call upon him. I've been knowing this man called Jesus for all of my life, because I was taught from my youth up. And I pray, I just believe God is able to bring you and secure you into his plan of salvation if you call upon him. But it's going to have to be you that calls upon him. I can't pray that prayer of faith for you, of a repentance, and get you into the kingdom of God. You got to pray it yourself. And it ain't going to be standing there, Lord Jesus, come into my life and you're on your way to heaven. No, I'm not going to tell you that, because it's not right. You got to come to Lord, to God, and be sorrowful for your sins. Repent and asking God to forgive you and accept it in Jesus' name and being cleansed by the blood of Jesus, because there's no other way. There's just no other way you can get there except through Jesus Christ. You got to let him cleanse you. That's where that the word of God comes from. It's a sharp two-edged sword, rightly dividing and bringing forth and even cutting asunder, separating the mire from the bone, separating you from your sins and the things that which would be detrimental to you to bring you into eternal life. It'll bring you and turn you around that we're in, that you can receive of this living waters. Honey, you can't say that I'm a Christian and traveling down the same old road that you've been traveling on all your life. Down that road of life, there's all kinds of things that you pick up along the way. They're called sins. They are rocks, debris of all kinds, adultery, fornication, and all those things. Drunkenness and killing and all that thing is on the road of destruction. They're in this world, and a lot of people goes along and picks them up. But, honey, the Spirit of God can rid you of these things if you'll only let him. And he can give to you that living waters that brings forth life eternally. You can't do it on your own. You're going to take God to help you, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, to help you to bring you into the light of the gospel and the truth of God's word. But he ain't going to force it on you. He's not. He'll give it to you, but he's not going to force it on you. Ain't going to cost you nothing. He paid the price at Calvary. So it's all a free gift from God, but you got to ask for it. Just like a baby had asked his dad for a dime or a nickel or something to buy a piece of candy, you're going to have to ask our Heavenly Father for salvation. My friend, he's not going to pour it out to you whether you want it or not. There's no such a thing that you're going to make it whether you want to or not. You're going to have to come by the way of the door. And Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way. You're going to have to be born again. As he told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, you got to repent. You got to come into the kingdom of God through the proper channels. It's no other way you can get there but except through Jesus. He is, was, and always will be that unimpotent God, the one that died for us. He is all in all, almighty. He is the one that can come into your life and help you to live a better life. But you're going to have to come to the place, my friend, to where you can understand and know that you need him, that he's right and you're wrong. I had to come to that place to know that he was right and I was wrong. I had to repent as any other man that preaches this gospel. You got to repent. You got to have God in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, as the Bible says, the hope of glory. It's got to be filled with that Spirit, that living waters. That living waters is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring forth. It helps us to express and give honor and glory unto the King of Kings, lifting up the name of Jesus unto the lost and dying world. It is a desire of our hearts. God wants you to come unto him. As he said on the day of the feast, he said, he that thirst come unto me, and you can have all of it you can want. You can have all that is there to have, and Jesus there. It's an inexhaustible supply. And there in Revelation 7 and 17, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. Oh, I want you to understand that there's going to come a time. You may shed tears in this side of eternity, but if you make it into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, he said he would dry all the tears up. There'd be no more sickness and no more sadness. And the life made fruitful. He said in Revelation 22 and 1, he said, and he showed me a pure river of waters of life, clear as crystal, exceeding out from the throne of God and of the Lamb, and into the midst of the streets, and into on either side of the river there was the trees of the these which bear 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the healing was the leaves was for the healing of the nation. My friend, you cannot wait for just don't put it off. Tomorrow may be too late. My wife said that a while ago, that you have no promise for tomorrow. I don't either. None of us have. Things have happened in the past years that it's took lives just on the moment notice and without any preparation or whatever, just taking their lives right out. And you could be one of those statistics as well as I could. God's blessed us and he's kept us. And he spares us, but he's in hopes that one more sparing of you, that you might turn to him. One more tragedy would happen that it might wake you up to realize that how much you need him. Those that perished and everything may have known God. So they, if they know him and they are a part of the kingdom, then they are better off than you and I are. We've got to yet go there, my friend. But I don't know. God had revealed that to me, but it's not my place to make judgment on them. But we'll all stand before the judgment of God, and we'll be judged according to our works, whether it's good or bad. And we need to be prepared. We need to judge ourselves here in this world, that we may not be judged in the world to come, that God may look down and say, this is mine. Jesus is a mediator between God and man. God is a spirit, and he desires them that to worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus was in a form, and he came in God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. So you got to realize that Jesus is the head of all things. He's the head of the church, and we know that we got to come to him to have salvation. So as we look to him and come into the presence of God with hope in our heart, that we know that he is capable and fully able and will listen to us, and we cry out that pleading cry and asking forgiveness of our sins and to be changed, then he is faithful and he will do it. He will in no wise cast you out. He said, he that cometh unto him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, he will in no wise cast out. He's waiting upon you to say, Lord, here am I, forgive me. He's waiting upon you to come to him. He's ready and waiting. He's got his hands outstretched, waiting upon that time that you would come to him and ask him to forgive you, to ask him to come into your life. He says that he stands at the door knocking. If any man open unto him, he will come in and sup with him. My friend, if you notice that the pictures that they seen Jesus knocking on the door, there's no doorknob on the outside. You've got to open up and let him come in. You yourself, you got to feel that wooing of the Holy Ghost, that Spirit of God that will bring you forth. And I'm trying with my heart to entice you and to let you know that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The only way you can make it into the kingdom of God is through repentance. As a man on the cross when he died, he said, Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. A lot of people says, well, you can be right there at death's door. Well, that man was at death's door, but yet and still he asked forgiveness. Friend, if you're at death's door and you may not have that opportunity. It was sometimes a few minutes after that before that man's life was taken from him. But Jesus, after everything was fulfilled, he gave up the ghost. They didn't take it from him. He gave it up. And he surrendered it unto the hands of the Almighty God. Oh, my friend, the spirit left that old body, that temple that it was in. It was rent there on the cross. And the veil of the temple in the place there was rent from top to bottom, exposing the holiest of holiest, to whereby that you and I can come in to the great into the grace of God and into the holy place, calling upon him to forgive us of our sins, and whereby that we can cry, Abba, Father. My friend, it's time we take notice of the things that's happening around the world. All of these disasters in one thing or another, and all the killing going on from different countries, it's all wrote in the book. Believe me, read your Bible, study to find yourself to wherein that you need to know what the Bible says. A lot of people says the church won't go through any trouble, but don't be fooled, my friend. The Bible says differently. There was a time way back yonder in 1800, I believe it was, some woman stood up and claimed herself to be some kind of high shot prophetess, said she perceived that the church would not go through any tribulations. Well, honey, we're there. Believe me, we're there. We're going through some problems that we shouldn't be here if that was the case, but we're here. And them that's left behind will still be left behind. Don't believe everything that you hear. Read your Word of God. See what it has to say. You make the judgment and the decision to whereby you need God or you just don't believe in it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. But remember, the Word of God is truth, and it's the only thing that you and I can go by. We have manuscripts of different things, or books that tell you how to assemble this or assemble that. You have to go by the directions in order to put it together right. The Word of God is a way to glory. You have to go by the roadmap, and Jesus Christ is the formula of it. So I just trust that God will bless you and keep you. And our prayer is that God will touch your life in a way that you will know that you need Him more than anything else in this world. And may God richly bless you until next week, my friend, and we'll come to you and take time for Jesus. Do so. Take time for him, and he'll sure take time for you. May God richly bless you until next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. and like a flood, His mercy rains on it.